Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on!
Could be worse for the Giants this season. I mean, you could be Chris Davis of the Orioles. What is he, Cody? 0 for his last 47, correct? He was 0 for 3 yesterday.
He was 0 for 5 yesterday.
0 for 5.
0 for 49.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, that went a little bit overboard. I forgot. I actually ended up turning off that A's game because it was just a blowout and then it was 12-4 in the end, so I didn't even see the rest of it. So two more at-bats without a hit for Chris Davis. That's fantastic for him. All right, so today we got the Giants loss that I want to discuss because I feel that that was easily the worst loss of the season and showed why everyone has them going under on the season win total of 73.5. We'll get to that. I want to get to Antonio Brown. I'm trying to figure out what his whole motive is. That's because I think we can all agree that we are confused, to say the least. From the outside, you know, from your first glance, it's pretty simple what you think of him. It's kind of obvious who's in the wrong here, but I kind of just want to get to the bottom of that. Then at 5:40, your chance to qualify for the golden ticket. If you haven't heard of it, it gives you a chance to win a pair of tickets to every single Warriors home playoff game. Plus, we got some comments from Richard Jefferson, who was on a Cavaliers broadcast and had some salty words to say the least, about Kevin Durant and the Warriors joining forces. It sounds like he's still not too thrilled with how that all played out. And then Joe Lacob spoke to The Athletic. We'll get to his comments about Kevin Durant's future with the Warriors, but we'll start off right here.
Falling behind 2-0 to Pilar.
It's a big pitch. He can absolutely zone in on a speed, on a location, and get very specific of what he's looking for because Lauer has to get in that strike zone.
High drive! Left field! It is out of here! Like you said, he had to come in.
And that was one grand slam by Kevin Pillar, and that was audio courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. And that was the high point of yesterday. And after that, you expected the Giants to win that ball game, but they fell short 6-5 after Mad Bum gave up a home run to Fernando Tatis Jr., who is phenomenal. He's been hitting the ball. I mean, he's hitting the ball at a 45-degree launch angle at like 108 miles an hour. And if you're looking at the advanced metrics, the projected batting average was like 280 on that hit, meaning that it only had like a 28% chance to actually be a hit unless you hit it the way he did. So you had that going for him. And then Mad Bum, he was actually throwing a no-hitter through the fifth. Then that kind of went away. And then in the sixth, he gave up a couple more runs. And then they brought in Murata in the seventh. And I didn't understand why they started out Bumgarner in the seventh in the first place. Once he was done with the sixth, and it was 5-3, at that point, it's like, okay, just bring in the relievers. That's going to be your strength for this season. You might as well rely on them. Hopefully get Sam Dyson in there because he's been slicing and dicing. I don't ever want to say that again. Bring in Murata, then bring in Will Smith. Those are your core three relievers right there that you want to rely on. You could bring in Tony Watson, sure. You could bring in Mark Melanson, sure. But you want to bring in Sam Dyson and Reyes Murata in those pressure situations. And that didn't exactly work out for one Reyes Murata.
High and deep to left. It is gone. And just like that, on one pitch, the Padres take the lead.
This is why I'm calling it the worst loss of the season, though. It's because they literally did every single thing they needed to do to win that ball game, and they managed to throw it away. You don't expect them to win a game by overpowering guys with their hitters. You don't expect them to just constantly be tacking on runs. No, we've seen from the early start of the season that these Giants, they might have one scoring inning, and the rest of that, they're not even going to make a dent. Buster Posey and Evan Longoria need to step up when they got runners in scoring positions. Having Buster Posey hit a double in the eighth to lead off the inning and then not bringing him home when you're down by one, that's just unacceptable. And it's not going to be a winning formula. And these Padres, they're no slouches. These are the new-look Padres now. They are a team that can actually hit and hit with power. Now, their pitching, that's a whole other story for a different day. They've got a bunch of young guys that they're hoping to spring up, but yeah, it was frustrating. And seeing these young power guys that they got and showing where the Giants are right now in terms of their power guys, they bring in Tyler Austin. They ended up optioning Connor Joe, in case you haven't heard. Someone else could pick him up within the week, or else he has to clear waivers with the Giants. And there's a whole bunch of technical stuff, but there are rumors floating around that he will get picked up. And that was sort of just a failed mission. But the Giants shouldn't have been in this position in the first place to pick up Tyler Austin, because Farhan Zaidi came out and he's like, yeah, we didn't think before the season that we'd have an opportunity to trade for Kevin Pillar. And we sure didn't think that we'd be having to start Connor Joe and Michael Reed right off the bat. And this all sort of reiterates my point that I had in the offseason. Why didn't you sign Adam Jones? The guy can hit. He can hit with power. He's a veteran. He played with Buster Posey back when they were on the Junior Olympic team or whatever it was. And you got no guys that are going to give you any sort of semblance of power. Maybe Brandon Belt. Maybe Brandon Crawford's actually been decent. He just hasn't hit for power at all. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, you're not allowed to talk about the Oakland Athletic Service Station. I thought you guys covered all sports. Guess you're not. Shame on you. I mean, I brought up Chris Davis just to open up the show, and I do expect that, you know, I am wondering. Chris Davis, it's been, what, he's 0-49. I mean, will the other Chris Davis get 49 homers this season? That's something to think about. But anyway, that's me getting off track because I just read a text. But these Padres are the definition of a young team who are rebuilding, and they've been terrible for these past few years. They've been irrelevant. Now they sign a few big guys, and they also got some young guys coming up, and now you're seeing it take shape. While the Giants, they end up signing 38-year-old veteran backup catchers who, by all accounts, is a great dude, but he's not going to help you win any ballgames.
Grant's trying to get Belt a shot or hit one in the gap.
Or hit one out.
0-2.
Got it. And that's the ballgame.
So this is a very nice come-from-behind win for these Padres. And the Giants finally bust out and take a nice 5-0 lead, and they can't hang on.
I mean, what are we supposed to look for these Giants? That's my question. Because it seems like they are making all the wrong moves. They're getting hits at the most inopportune times. I don't know how you have a 5-0 lead and then you just squander it. Because these Giants they're not going to be the type of team that are even going to come back when they're down from a deficit. So when you go up 5-0 and you're backing up a pitcher like Madison Bumgarner, you got to be able to score runs. You got to be able to score more runs. And the Giants just didn't do that. So last night, it was a sad 1-6-5 from the 5-1-0. Leave Kevin Pillar alone. I mean, Kevin Pillar, he's been serviceable, man, but he's not going to get you over the hump. He's not going to be the type of guy that you're going to want to re-sign going forward. So it's just kind of a question. This season, the Giants set out to, they're going to be a winning team. That's what the front office wanted. That's what Farhan Zaidi, you know, that's what his approach is. He wants to have a winning ball club. He doesn't want to act like they're in a rebuild. But I just wonder, when you got losses like this, which clearly show that they're not a winning team, and they show why their season win total was only at 73.5, it's just a question. I'm wondering, when are they actually going to go into rebuild mode? Because these veterans in Evan Longoria and Buster Posey, they're not getting it done. And believe it or not, Longoria with his glove, there's some value there. And if another team perhaps just needs a third baseman out of nowhere, whether it's due to injury or just unfortunate circumstances, I don't see why trading any of these veteran guys wouldn't be an option. From the 415, as a Bills fan, Antonio Brown, thank you for going to Oakland. That guy is trash. That's actually what I want to get to next, because I'm trying to figure it out. This whole social media, I'm still, even as a young guy, I'm still not used to the athletes going on social media and using that to fight with each other. And this Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster situation, I really need to kind of understand what to make of it. So we'll get into that next. Remember, you're going to have a chance to qualify for the golden ticket coming up here at 5:40, which gives you a chance to win a pair of tickets to every Warriors home playoff game. Coming back on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
The Western Conference playoffs run through Oracle.
If you're going to win the West, you've got to go all the way West. You've got to go to the Bay.
Listen to every dunk. Every three.
Flash.
Every moment.
The one-time darlings are now a dynasty.
It all starts this weekend on the exclusive home of Warriors playoff basketball. 95.7. The Game. Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Giants took a little L last night. It's a little play on music words. The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for golden mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet, and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. In about 23 minutes is going to be your first chance to qualify for the golden ticket. It's going to be the text portion. We do text, tweet, or call. So you're going to be texting the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Then you're going to be tweeting at 957thegame with the hashtag 957goldenticket. Then you're going to be calling the contest line. Again, that's the contest line, not 888-957-9570. Feel free to give that number a call now, though. But we'll give you the contest line, and that'll be coming up at about 5:50. All right, this Antonio Brown thing is it's mind-boggling. So let's take a look back at first what got Antonio Brown to where he is now. Okay, first off, let's just start with that Week 17 game where he skipped the game for the Steelers against the Ravens, and then they didn't end up getting in the playoffs. So that was one thing that put him in a terrible light within the NFL community. So no one really knew whether he was a part of the team in the offseason, and he was just talking mess about all the players and the organization. He obviously wasn't a fan with the way that Big Ben was leading the team. And so he was kind of just wilding out on social media. He had the, you know, the bleached handlebar mustache, and he was just being all odd and kind of just forcing the Steelers to trade him. So you're thinking at the time, like, wow, this guy's kind of, I mean, what happened to him? This guy's a little bit crazy. Now, you knew beforehand when he flew a helicopter into training camp to arrive there that, yeah, you knew he was kind of a little wild, but he also backed it up, so he didn't really care. And you look at him in this offseason, what he did on social media, and you're like, wow, this is kind of petty. And then the Raiders ended up trading for him. They only traded away a third and a fifth. So after that, the perception around Antonio Brown is, wow, this guy is, I mean, he is kind of smart. He just leveraged him out of a situation where the team's not going to give you guaranteed money because the Steelers just don't give guaranteed contracts unless it's to Big Ben, which he had a big problem with. But they got him, and they pretty much got him for a bargain because he was still the leading touchdown getter in 2018, and he's still one of, if not the best wide receiver in the league. He's certainly in that top five conversation. He always is and always has been since he was like 27 or so. It took him a while to get going, but you kind of had a feeling that, hey, this is there was a method to his madness. He ended up getting out of his situation. He got rid of the bleached handlebar mustache. So you're like, hey, this guy isn't as crazy as we all thought. But now he's taken to social media again. And ever since he got traded to the Raiders, he's been kind of, it doesn't feel like there's a moment where a camera's not following him, because from day one, we've seen him and Derek Carr working out. And by workouts, I mean just literally throwing passes. I hate those, by the way. Me and my friends can run routes and then post a video and post it to TMZ and be like, hey, Steven working out with his buddies. They're going to be a good team this year. But then this whole thing with Juju Smith-Schuster came about. Juju Smith-Schuster is pretty much, I think he's been a threat to Antonio Brown, because he's a young guy. Big Ben loves him. And he was getting a majority of the touches last year. So was he jealous because someone posted on Twitter, and they tagged Antonio Brown and they said that Juju Smith-Schuster is the MVP. And then Antonio Brown replies with emotion, colon. That's bad grammar. Boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everybody went blind to busy making guys famous. Not enough reality these days. By the way, check the list. Okay, that's just one thing. Then Juju Smith-Schuster replies, keep your emotions off the internet. And he continues, all I ever did was show that man love and respect from the moment I got to the league. I was genuinely happy for him, too, when he got traded to Oakland with a big contract. And now he takes shots at me on social media? Crazy how big that ego got to be to take shots at people who show you love. SMH. Then he goes forward and posts a picture of a quote from Mark Twain saying, never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference. And this is where Antonio Brown comes in again. And he says, he doesn't say, he posts on Instagram a private direct message conversation, not even a conversation, just a DM that Juju Smith-Schuster sent him when he was at USC. I don't have the exact quote because it has since been deleted and I didn't grab it yesterday because I am irresponsible. But pretty much he politely says, hey, Antonio Brown, you're one of my favorite players. I look up to you. Do you have any tips? I'm one of the guys trying to make it in the NFL. And that's something you want to see out of a young guy. So why did Antonio Brown post this in response? Like, Juju's a weak man for that? And so I guess my question, my biggest question is, from all this stuff that Antonio Brown did in the beginning to get to where he is right now, to get to the point where he's traded for a third and fifth round pick, which is a steal. Is there some sort of motive with what he's doing here? Like, there was clearly a method to his madness when he was posting the bleached mustache Instagram videos trying to get out of Pittsburgh and then rejecting the Steelers and, you know, or rejecting the Bills, rather, and posting it on Instagram saying that this is all false. So he got what he wanted from that. But my main question here is, what did he want from this? I mean, is this just some sort of, is he trying to be like the enemy of the NFL? Because it turns out that when you are an enemy, you're kind of undervalued, especially when you're going crazy like that. That's why he got traded for a third and fifth round pick, because people thought, or other teams thought, he was that crazy. That's why the Niners didn't pick him up, because Kyle Shanahan's like, nah, I don't want to bring that into the locker room. We got a good young core of guys who we believe we can build going forward. We don't need to bring a distraction. And the Raiders, I get where they're at, because they don't have a young core of wide receivers they can build around. And if they had the opportunity, they snagged him, which was smart. But does he want to be like the, I mean, do we all agree that Tom Brady, certainly he's had a sort of chip on his shoulder, because ever since the whole Deflategate and Spygate and all this stuff, and him being a champion, he's kind of looked at it as an enemy, and that sort of gives him power. Is that what Antonio Brown's trying to do here? From the 415 on the Chillin' Auto Body text line, feel free to chime in on 95795. I think AB is trying to generate hate to motivate himself. Is that one of the reasons, or is he just being plain petty? From the 707, Juju tossed up a picture of him scoring with AB in the background saying he's ready, then put up a picture with Big Ben talking about how great he is in the middle of all the back and forth with AB and the Steelers. He's reacted poorly to it all. Either way, this is just the world we kind of live in, I guess. But I also think that this could be a sort of way for Antonio Brown to make himself the face of the Raiders. Because Derek Carr, he was supposed to be the kind of the face, the guy that everyone looks at, and is, you think Raiders, you think Derek Carr, but Gruden kind of took the reins on that after he signed the 10-year, $100 million contract. And Antonio Brown knows that he's coming into an organization where he's the number three guy in terms of popularity. And now it seems like he's trying to put himself to number one, because it's obvious that when he was with the Steelers, he wasn't okay with just being the number two, because he is, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. He's definitely one of the best that I've ever seen, especially since I'm a younger guy, and you know, you've seen guys come and go. But I mean, when you got guys like Adrian Peterson and Antonio Brown, you think those are the kind of the best guys that you've seen. And so it's just a question of what his motive is here. And then I don't understand why Juju had to just reply on social media and make it even bigger, because he was egging Antonio Brown on. And now that I think about it, he probably did just post those tweets because he knows that Antonio Brown would respond with some sort of petty post. But it just shows kind of how big Antonio Brown's ego is. And that's what we're looking at from the surface here. It's very easy to look at this and just say, wow, Antonio Brown, this guy, he's out of touch. He lacks self-awareness. From the 650, who's the 49ers young receiving core? Ah, they got Dante Pettis. You know, they're just hoping to kind of build him, and they don't need any veteran wide receivers to come in and sort of break up what they got going with Kittle. Kittle's going to be their number one receiver going forward. But I'm just confused, man. That's just my whole thing is I don't understand what his motive is here because from the surface it looks nuts. But at the same time, in the season, does he really want people going after him? You got a guy on the Texans. I forgot which cornerback it was. It wasn't a relatively known cornerback, but he says, "Man, I'm going after this guy now." Maybe this sort of thing will have defenders overcompensate for him and be trying too hard to just knock his helmet off, and Antonio Brown would take advantage. Is that what he's doing here? Is he kind of trying to, like this 415 texter said, he's generating hate to motivate himself, and it's also to motivate the defenders to try and overcompensate for him? And what are his teammates thinking right now? Is he in touch with any of them? Do they understand what his thinking is behind this? Because going into training camp, and if this is like the first time you're meeting Antonio Brown and all you got is the social media post to look at to judge him, then it's not a good look. Not a good look. All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to give away the golden ticket. We're going to give away a qualifier for the golden ticket, which gives you a pair of tickets to every single Warriors home playoff game. Real quick from the 925, I know you're dissing on Antonio Brown, but thanks for talking about the Raiders. You rock. I mean, that's the thing, though, is what else are we supposed to do? Is there anyone who's on Antonio Brown's side with this? Because with these superstars, they got guys who are kind of telling them what to do. I refuse to believe that any of these superstar athletes, I refuse to believe that they post things to social media or say things in press conferences without actually having some sort of motive or meaning behind it. All right, again, your chance to qualify for the golden ticket coming up. We're also going to get to comments from Richard Jefferson on the Cavs. He's a Cavs analyst, and he was on the call. And I don't know how Kevin Durant got brought up or the Warriors, but it always seems to, and he seems kind of salty. Plus, Sam Amick on The Athletic posted the 2019 NBA Anonymous Player Poll, and there's a certain Warrior on there that the players feel is overrated. Come on back on 95.7 The Game on the pregame show.
Watching the Warriors play their final regular season game at Oracle brings up some powerful emotions for all of us.
Get this, I'm doing the San Antonio Spurs Golden State Warriors at the age of 26, and my dad, who was working for Toys R Us at the time, is driving around listening to his son on the radio.
Wow.
I'm getting choked up right now. I mean, it was probably my greatest moment as a broadcaster.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
That was pretty cool.
The only place to hear every second of Warriors playoff basketball, 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game, presented by Golden State Lumber. Here's Stephen Langford.
It's 5:36, and instead of drinking all night, we're drinking coffee all morning. Hope you're safe out there on the roads, whether on the Nimitz or the Sinclair. Cody, did you know you're a relatively new Bay Area guy? You've been here for a few years, but how long did you live here until you knew that 880 was called the Nimitz? Did you ever know that?
Actually, I do know that. And I've been living for 6 years, so it's not a few years anymore. It's
what, is six not a few?
I think it's longer.
Ooh. We might have a debate here.
What's more, several or few?
Several's more. So I'd guess.
I lived here for several years.
Yeah, you could say several. Nice. And how long did it take you to find out that 880 was called the Nimitz?
Isn't it posted on 880? It's called the...
It is posted on 880, but some people don't notice it.
I'd say over a year probably, because I never had to take 880 anywhere. Living in the South Bay, I don't take 880 anywhere unless I come to Oakland.
Oh, that's a good
point. And I take BART most of the time, so.
Oh, there you go. BART and you're there. Bay Area Rapid Transport. Love it. Love BART. Pre-game show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for golden mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. In just over 2 minutes, we're going to give you a chance to qualify for the golden ticket, giving you a pair of tickets to every single Warriors home playoff game. And we will be doing the text portion coming up in a couple of minutes. I'll give you a keyword. But first, I want you to listen to Richard Jefferson on the Cavs broadcast and the championship run that they went on and their little rivalry with the Warriors. It was talked about, and here's what Richard Jefferson had to say.
And that was a crazy thing, because they literally, like, Harrison Barnes, who was one of their guys,
yes,
drafted, been there. And you understand, you got to do that 10 times out of 10, but, you know, where I come from in the park and in the street, if you're playing and you lose to somebody, the first words are, run it back, same teams.
Run it back.
Run it back,
that's
same
right.
teams, right?
Run it back.
No,
that's
we ain't
right.
changing no team.
Right.
Run it back.
Run it back.
That's how we grew up, right? See, getting excited over here. That's
right.
what it is. Run it back, same team. Because you don't want to change anything. It's like, no, we felt like we're the better team.
Right.
We just didn't play well enough, right. So let's run it back. They didn't do that. They were like, we need to go reload. We're going to go get our big brother. And you're like, oh, thanks, guys. That's fun.
It's funny you mentioned about the Warriors, because Harrison Barnes says, had they won the title, he probably would have stayed with the Warriors. They wouldn't have changed.
They would have brought him back because they would have had the best record ever,
right.
And they would have won the title. You can't change that. Right. And then again, there were so many things that went into that. So it was still an amazing experience, and I'm still going to milk it for as long as I can.
Now, Richard Jefferson is one of my more favorite media people because I think he's real, and he's also super smart, and he's eloquent. So I have all the respect in the world for him, but I just don't get why these veteran guys are constantly making these salty comments, because what do the Warriors have to do in order to get these guys' praise? It's just because they picked up Kevin Durant. I mean, he referred to him as, it's like picking up the big brother. This isn't exactly playing in the schoolyard. This is the NBA. And they're in the business of winning championships. And if signing Kevin Durant is going to help them win championships, then, more power to them. That's the whole point of it. We'll get into this a little more. Plus, Joe Lacob commented on Kevin Durant's free agency, so we're getting to that. But right now, it's time for the Golden Ticket, presented by the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. Each day at this time, we'll give you three chances to qualify for a pair of tickets to every Warriors home playoff game. One lucky winner will be chosen on Thursday, April 11th. That's coming up in a couple of days. The game we're playing is text, tweet, or call. First chance to qualify is through text. Right now, text the keyword switch, as in Draymond Green is an expert with the switch on defense, or the Warriors can flip the switch whenever they want. Yeah, that sentence with Draymond wasn't right. But again, that's switch to 95795. Again, switch to 95795, the Chill Not a Body text line. Keep listening. In a little less than 5 minutes, we'll give you another chance to qualify with a new keyword. Reminder, get your official verified playoff tickets at warriors.com. Feel free to hit up the regular phone line at 888-957-9570 if you want to comment on Richard Jefferson's in-game analysis, which literally had nothing to do with the game, and it all had to do with the Warriors. I guess when you're on the call for a Cavs game and you got nothing to talk about, I guess it's just a go-to to go and talk about their little rivalry with the Warriors, because it's all they really had. But let's listen to Richard Jefferson's comments again. I need to listen one more time just to kind of get a clear view on what he's actually saying.
And that was a crazy thing, because they literally, like, Harrison Barnes, who was one of their guys,
yes,
drafted, been there. And you understand, you got to do that 10 times out of 10, but, you know, where I come from in the park and in the street, if you're playing and you lose to somebody, the first words are, run it back, same teams.
Run it back.
Run it back,
that's
same
right.
teams,
run
right?
It back.
No,
that's
we ain't changing no
right.
team. Run it back.
Run it back.
That's how we grew up, right?
See,
getting excited over here. That's
right.
what it is. Run it back, same team. Because you don't want to change anything. It's like, no, we felt like we're the better team.
Right.
We just didn't play well enough,
right.
So let's run it back. They didn't do that. They were like, we need to go reload. We're going to go get our big brother. And you're like, oh, thanks, guys. That's fun.
It's funny you mentioned about the Warriors, because Harrison Barnes says, had they won the title, he probably would have stayed with the Warriors. They wouldn't have changed.
They would have brought him back because they would have had the best record ever.
Right.
And they would have won the title. You can't change that.
Right.
And then again, there were so many things that went into that. So it was still an amazing experience, and I'm still going to milk it for as long as I can.
So they're going to bring up Harrison Barnes when it's been 3 years since he's been gone. And sure, things probably would have been a little bit different had they won that year when the with the 73-9 season. But right now, when they added Kevin Durant, they got two championships, and they're on their way to a three-peat. I don't know how anyone could be talking about it this way, but at the same time, he doesn't seem to mean any harm by it. I now that I listened to that again, it seemed more that he was talking about his experience with the Cavs in that championship run. And he actually has a hilarious story with the – I mean, it's not really hilarious if you're a Warrior fan, but he's talking about the Cavs winning the championship. And when, you know, he was in on the last possession, he just was hoping that the play wouldn't be called to him to take the shot at the end. And he literally just goes to the corner, watches Kyrie and LeBron and says, don't give me the ball. Don't give me the ball. I don't want this. Like, this is your moment. Your guys, it's time to shine. I'll hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll get the win if I'm just sitting here in the corner, because it's more likely that'll happen. But these sort of comments, it just, they irk me. I think they irk all Warrior fans out there, because it's proven that this, I mean, could you imagine the backlash that they would have gotten had they not won these two championships back to back, especially with Kevin Durant? Because they're still getting a relative amount of criticism from veteran players like Richard Jefferson and, you know, the older guys. So I'm just wondering what it would have been like had they not won these two championships, because it seems like they're still going to get chastised for it. And if KD sticks with the team going forward through the Chase Center years, I also wonder if that'll still be a thing. All right, we're giving you another chance to qualify for the golden ticket. Text, tweet, call is the game. It's time for the tweet portion. Again, the tweet portion. That is Twitter. So log on to Twitter right now and tweet the keyword dribble. As in, Steph was voted second on this player poll because of the way he can dribble. Again, that's dribble. So what you're going to do is tweet the keyword dribble and use the hashtag 957 golden ticket. Again, tweet dribble and hashtag 957 golden ticket. Your next chance to qualify coming up in a little less than 5 minutes. And coming up in 10 minutes, Anna Kagarakis has returned to the building. She just went on a big family trip to Disneyland and California Adventure, and I want to hear all about her experience with that, because she has a nice young family, and, you know, especially for my parents, at least, when they took me to Disneyland when I was like a four-year-old, they had a tough time. They had a tough time. All right, so Sam Amick, he's you may know him. He's been on our airwaves numerous times. He is actually one of our NBA insiders, and he posts a poll of players anonymous who vote for different types of awards. So you got, you know, who's the MVP, who's the best defender, who's the best ball handler, if you're building a roster from scratch, who are you signing first, best defensive player. But then there's this one. And it's who's the most overrated. Now, luckily, Sam Amick was able to join the butcher shop yesterday with a Butcher Boy, and I believe Covey was on the show. And he had the answer to a certain player who was voted as the most overrated, and that is one Draymond Green.
I would say it's jealousy, and I know that sounds like an easy card to play, but I think with Draymond that there's going to be some of that, because you think about it, all these finals runs in a row, all these games on the biggest stage, all these rings that he's stacking up, and not only that, personality-wise, he happens to be somebody who won the other category, who talks the most trash, by a landslide. So you're seeing a lot of Draymond, you're hearing a lot of Draymond, and you know, even though you respect his ability, you know, maybe you're just kind of tired of Draymond winning the day.
Now, I definitely agree with the jealousy aspect. Feel free to text the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. From the 925, the anonymous players poll is an absolute joke. Klay Thompson overrated? I think not. In a poll that lists Can't read that. How can you be overrated when you played 7 minutes all year long? Poll has no merit. Yeah, see, the whole, yeah, they're jealous because Draymond's won a few championships, so he's overrated because of that. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that, if anything, when you're calling him overrated, if you're jealous because he's won championships, isn't he, I don't know, rated just about right? Because how does the NBA look at Draymond Green? They look at him as the enforcer, kind of the loud, brash, trash-talking guy. So when he wins championships, though, and he backs it up, and he does this with getting 6 points and 10 assists and 8 rebounds a game, I don't really know how you can call Draymond Green overrated. He's tied with Russell Westbrook at 17%. Then next up is Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns. I think Andrew Wiggins deserves to be up there way more than Draymond Green. What has Andrew Wiggins ever done? All he's done is disappoint. Then you got James Harden, Ben Simmons, LeBron James, and Kyle Lowry. From the 408, I think LeBron is overrated at this current moment of his career. We'll see. I'm actually very curious to see what the Lakers do next year. First time without a playoff appearance in, what is it, 14 years. I think I'm not necessarily going to go on the track that LeBron is super overrated just yet, because he is this generation's Michael Jordan. He's one of the best I've ever seen. But I just don't understand how Draymond Green can be up there. And then Klay Thompson, too, and DeMarcus Cousins, they're both at the bottom. How do you constitute a overrated player? I guess winning championships and doing it without really showboating yourself as the number one guy on the team, I guess that counts as overrated. All right. Once I pull it up here, it's your final chance to qualify for the golden ticket on the pregame show for today. Call right now, 844-999-GAME. That's 844-999-4263. Caller number, we'll go with 23 for Draymond Green. And I guess LeBron James too. But Draymond Green for being called the most overrated player by the NBA anonymous player poll of The Athletic for 2019. I mean, we could keep going up the list here. I do enjoy these questions because, you know, I do enjoy these things like the NFL top 100. I mean, even though you may not agree with the list of who their top 100 players are, there's no one else who's played against these guys and knows them like their peers on the field. So I think we need to take their opinion into account. But when it comes to a question like who's the most overrated, that's just asking you to hate on a guy. And I don't necessarily think that that's the best question to throw out. I don't even know if it's a legit poll. I mean, who knows? These guys could be screwing with each other. They're all friends. I think we all know that now. These guys are all, they all love each other, man. There's rarely any hate in the NBA anymore, except for maybe Joel Embiid and a couple of other guys he might not be friends with. And another guy is Giannis Antetokounmpo. He doesn't seem to be friends with any other players, and that's why he's not feeling obligated to kind of form a super team, because he doesn't want to have to, play with his friends. But going through this, we got the who's the best player of all time. Michael Jordan at 73%, LeBron James at 11.9%, Kobe at 10.6%, Kareem at 1.7%, Magic Johnson, Allen Iverson, and Kevin Durant at 1%. Okay, I may be a younger dude, but to have Kareem fourth compared to Kobe Bryant, and to have Wilt Chamberlain not even be on that list? I mean, there's a list of dudes you could put as the best player of all time. And it I mean, definitely the Magic Johnson. Kevin Durant is the 1%. I wonder who voted for him. Speaking of, who don't you want to fight? Who's the toughest? That's a good question. That's one that kind of shows you who these people are. And number one, of course, is James Johnson with 43.8% of the vote. Funny thing about James Johnson, though, he is known as the toughest guy who no one wants to fight because he's of Heat fame, in case you don't know who James Johnson is. But he's got a family full of black belts. So he's been growing up with, you know, jiu-jitsu and judo and all these other sort of martial arts that I don't even know the name of. But there's one guy, when James Johnson was asked, who's one dude in the NBA that can who can square up with you and could actually put up a fight? The one guy he said, David West. And he said that last year when David West was still in the league. I think that says a lot about David West and who that was. Ever since I heard him say that, which was about, I think, 2 years ago about David West, I was taken aback by it a little bit. You heard David West is like that tough, savvy veteran, but I didn't know he was up to that level where James Johnson would say, yeah, that guy can square up with me. But I did mention Kevin Durant as being one of the best players in the NBA. And naturally, a lot of when you are the best player in the NBA or one of the best players in the NBA and you got free agency rumors coming up, then naturally it's going to be talked about. And I think Joe Lacob spoke with Tim Kawakami of The Athletic yesterday, and he said, talking about Kevin Durant's free agency, I honestly don't even think about it. I don't, because there's nothing I can do about it. Zero. He's earned the right to be a free agent. He's going to make the choice that feels best for him, and it's our job to, when the season's over, convince him that the right decision is to be a Warrior for life. Look, we can pay him the most money. We have a great team. We have great coaching. We have great fans. I don't think anyone can match us when you take everything into consideration, if that's the way you're thinking about it. And he has a chance to win, and let's hope it goes well this year, a chance to win more championships. I mean, it could be legendary if he stays here. I don't know that you can get that kind of opportunity very often. So I would hope that he thinks that and accepts that and decides he wants to stay. But on the other hand, I'm not going to be mad at him either way. Whatever he decides to do, he decides to do. And I'll probably be a Kevin Durant fan no matter what. I'm not going to be emotional about it. There's no point. I'm not going to speculate on where Kevin Durant's going to go. But Joe Lacob literally just told you, hey, we have all the reason in the world for you to stay here. We have the money. If you want to go, then you can go, but you're not going to have a better opportunity than you have right here. And I think they have the full argument. To me, when they're going to be talking to him about it, that's exactly what they're going to say. They're going to say, hey, man, you have the chance to win more championships. You're not going to get this kind of opportunity ever in your career. But hey, if you feel like you can go to another team and help build it into a championship roster, then feel free. Anna Kagarakis is in. How are you, Anna?
I'm good. Feeling good. Ready to get rolling this morning. How are you back in the Bay?
Feeling good. Feeling awake?
Yes, I am awake. My coffee has kicked in, so I am all ready to go today. Talk a little Warriors, talk a little Giants, talk a little bit of everything today.
Ugh, brutal one for the Giants yesterday.
Seriously, man.
Yeah.
That was just sad.
What was your reaction when you heard over the weekend that Blake Treinen gave up four walks in a row to lose to the Astros?
Let's just say it was a good thing I was in Disneyland at the time. I was the happiest place on earth, not having to worry about that. We'll just pretend like that didn't happen, yeah. You know, just kind of brush that one to the side.
So how was it? How was the drive down? You told me beforehand that Dean was really excited to look at the nature. Did it live up to his expectations?
Pretty much. He actually did a good job. I made a little road scavenger hunt for him.
Really?
He laughed. He was looking for the cows, especially. Definitely when we got towards Lowe's area of Lemoore, Hanford, got going out there. Yeah. Like, oh, look at that. We're in Lemoore, passing Lemoore right now.
What was his reaction to the smell?
Oh, he was plugging his nose. He's like, Mommy, when we pass this, tell me when we're done. I mean, he had a blanket over his face, just trying to cover his face. Oh.
Once you get to that
gross
Coalinga area, thank you, Cody. Once you get to Coalinga Harris Ranch, that becomes brutal. What was his favorite ride?
He loves Space Mountain and Pirates of the Caribbean. He went on Space Mountain 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. We did the whole Fast Pass thing. By the way, Max Pass, if you haven't done that, that's the best thing. It's like an extra $15 a day, but you can do Fast Pass from anywhere in the park. So you can be on the other side and be like, oh, I want to do Space Mountain at like this time and schedule it out. So instead of having to go all the way to the ride, put your ticket in, it was great.
Did you manage to sneak in a few adult beverages when you were in the park?
When we were at California Adventure, yes. We went over to this really good restaurant. It's like the Lamplight or something. It's the Lamp from Pixar.
Uh-huh.
And ooh, great restaurant. Delicious food. I had lobster nachos and Ratatouille. You know, the movie Ratatouille with the little rat. So cute.
Adorable.
Really good. Delicious, by the way. And I had some kind of like tropical beverage. I forgot what it was called, but it had like cream of coconut in there. Hmm. I mean, I felt like I was in the Caribbean drinking. It was so good.
You know the secret about that Ratatouille dish, though, right?
What
it's
is it?
It's actually made. The chef's legit. Thank you, Coz. The chefs legit have a mouse inside their hats.
I've
and
heard
they
that.
Actually cook the ratatouille with the mouse. They,
oh, sure.
It's like real thing.
I thought they had it's just a shadow, right? Obviously, but you know.
Yeah, shadow. Yeah, right.
Sure,
you can think
it's
what
a
you
real thing.
Think. All right. So we got Cozumel in here. He's in for Lowe again. We had no idea when Lowe was going to come back, and I guess today wasn't that day.
Not today.
So we'll have Joe, Dibs, and Coz, and of course Anna is back. And they'll be joined by Greg Papa at 8:30, George Carl at 9:10, and Matt Barrows at 9:35. So George Carl, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, maybe they'll ask, is Draymond Green the most overrated player in the NBA as voted on the players' poll? Did you see that, Anna?
No. Yeah.
Do you agree with that? 17% voted Draymond Green and Russell Westbrook on Sam Amick's beautiful little Players Anonymous poll.
Yeah, a little jealousy a little bit there, right?
That's exactly mm-hmm. what Sam Amick said. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.